This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Welcome to the Urban Hot 40 Up Close and Personal. Joining me is an artist who has helped us get through difficult times by his sweet voice. Many didn't know that it was him behind the hit song Senzeni, which was dropped in 2020. This was amidst the challenges we had of COVID. It was loved. It went platinum, currently sitting on more than 4 million views on YouTube. And he has a new hit song, E-Wallet, which is currently doing the most on the Urban Hot 40. And he's joining me to let me in on the song and just to get to know the guy a little bit better. His name is Mthandazo Gadya, joining me on the line.
Thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. So if you could describe yourself in 5 words, what would those words be? We started off with patience, and now there's 4 more words that I'd like to hear.
Patient, caring, very kind, and well-spoken as well.
Yeah, that is true. And your journey with music, it goes very far back. I mean, I read somewhere that you've started singing since your primary school days, and it was in the school choir. But sure, you started singing back then. But at what point did it dawn on you? At what point did you decide that music is something that I want to do, that you want to be a musician?
Yeah. I don't necessarily feel like it was a decision for me per se, because in my entire journey, I tried a lot of things. You know, at some point I worked as a, you know, I worked in communications. At some point I worked as a pizza chef. So I've actually tried a lot of things, but I feel like for me, it was more of a calling than anything. Because in everything I tried, you know, I felt like I was suffocating, but only through music that I felt like this is where I belong. So from, when I finished high school, 2010.
Yeah.
There's this show called Jam Alley. That was on SABC One. So I won second prize there. So from, you know, being just an ordinary guy from Mekasi, and then you land, you know, on TV, SABC One, you know, you are bound to in some way feel like, yeah, man, this is the thing for me. You know, this is what I need to be doing. So I feel like, yeah, 2010, this is where I really, you know, realized how much potential I had in this music thing, and I started pressing, you know, even harder and harder and harder. But yeah, like I said, man, for me, it wasn't really a matter of really making choices to say I want to do it. Music has always been a thing for me, you know. This is the only place where I felt like I belong. You know, this is one place where I felt like I could better express myself. You know, when I felt like nobody cared about listening to me, but I felt like music was the only way I could really, like, let out, you know, my feelings and just my frustrations, you know.
Before we fast forward to 2010 Gem Alley competition, I'm still interested in your childhood. You know, kids, when you ask any kid that you bump into in the street, what you when you grow up, they're saying things like, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a want to be a pilot. What was that thing for you?
I wanted to be a lawyer so bad. I wanted to be a lawyer. But yeah, right after high school, things couldn't go my way. I mean, it's a sad story how the option for me was to go work. You know, the family thought that I needed to start working now, because I've been, you know, at school for so long, because I'm from a family of a lot of people, you know. We were like about 9 in the house and nobody was working. So right after high school, working felt like the only, you know, thing to do, you know. So I couldn't really go further with my studies. So when I started working as well, the plan had been that I'm gonna, you know, also try find a way, you know, to go back to school. But that passion died out, you know. Music felt like, yeah, man, this is really, so that's what I'm saying. For me, I was really called for this music thing.
But you don't think at any point in your life you might wanna go back and pursue and make that inner child in you happy?
No, I'm good. I feel like I'm good. I'm where I should be right now. You know,
yeah.
If it comes back again, then I'll do it. But yeah, I feel like I'm where I need to be right now.
Now, moving to 2010, you did mention that you won second place in Jam Alley. We loved Alley. Everyone loved Jam Alley. We all loved it. But was that the validation that you needed, the pushing factor for you to say music really is your thing?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, imagine you're just from the Skasi where nobody really cares about who you are or what you do, and you find yourself on TV. All of a sudden, things have changed. You know, respect left and right. People don't see you the same way as they used to see you. You know, people, you bump into people who tell you, Debra, you are gone now. And you know very well that I'm still here. You know, people are telling you that, now you are gone now. Now you are gone. Your life has changed and everything. So also people just believing that my life had changed and that I was now a celebrity and everything else. You know, there was this thing of, I can't afford to go back now. I need to make sure, you know, that I move forward. Forward is the only way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the period between 2010 and 2020. Yeah. So you won Jam Alley. Now there's this expectation from everyone that, yo, everyone from Kasi who knows you, everyone who saw you on TV is like, okay, now we see him be something. But you only got your first hit in 2020.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the 10-year period. What was happening in your life between 2010 and 2020?
Again, you know, I was just, you know, still also trying to find my way up. Again, I also tried working. This is where now I also became a pizza chef. You know, in fact, that's a cheesy word because I worked at a pizza shop. You know? I tried that. I started saving money from working there, thinking, okay, maybe let me just work for a year, save money, and get into construction. You know, I got into construction a week after, you know, having quit my job to try construction, and then a tender gets taken, you know, by a white man, and now you are left with tools.
Yeah.
And you have to now resell these tools again now because, you know, you do not have a job. I was like, nah. Back to studio it is, you know, and I started focusing more in studio, you know, so I've just been, trying. 2017, I had a song. I thought this would be the song. There's a song called The Togi that I did with Kaleido.
Yeah.
Made it to radio and a couple of TV stations. It saw just a bit of, you know, the spotlight, but it really wasn't the song, you know. I went to go stay in Limpopo, trying to work with house victims.
Okay.
We tried. It didn't work out. Came back to Joburg. 2020, Senzeni came through and everything changed.
What was helping you keep your head up during this time? Because I can imagine you saved all this money from when you were working at a pizza store. And you get into construction and things are not going well. The tender gets taken and then you try and push to make music, but music also doesn't happen. What does you keep your head up? Because you are trying everything, because I can hear from you now that are literally trying everything, but not doing what is supposed to be done. What was helping you keep your head up during this time?
I mean, just also understanding that, you know, I have nobody, you know, so I have to do it myself. For me, it's always been that journey, you know, where you just have to live from handouts. You move from one friend to another just to make sure that you eat and whatsoever. So I knew that for me to make it, it had to take me really like forcing my way up, you know?
Yeah.
So I just had to be patient. But also in that whole process, trust God, because I'm really a huge believer of of God. I pray a lot, you know. That's why I never take credit, you know, for everything that I've achieved. I feel like for someone young as I was back then, without the necessary means to make this thing work, it can't be me, you know. It can only be God and my ancestors, you know. So, yeah, man, I've just been, you know, trying, but also having in mind that it's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible. You know, I felt like it was just another story of another black child. So many people relate to my story. People who have made it, people who are successful right now, relate to the type of story I've had. So I didn't feel like my case was special in any way. I just had to try, find my way, you know. Eventually things worked out, you know. So I can say faith carried me through. And also this thing of music being my calling, you know, because, you know, when it comes to what you are called for, things sometimes just work out because this is what you are meant to be, you know. No man can stand in the way of that, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, how long it takes, but if this is what you are called for, it will eventually work out for you.
Now, fast forward to 2020.
Yeah.
Tanzani,
yeah.
Was this your expectation? Did you expect the song to be this big? Yeah. Or were you at the studio just like, okay, here's another song, here's another try, let's see how it goes?
You know, that's what I'm saying. Music for me has really been like a calling and a very spiritual thing, you know. So how this song happened in studio, everybody says this is a big song.
Yeah,
we'll do the song. We had about 10 people in the studio who were just jumping up and down as if the song was out. We were like happy that day. But so there was this brother of mine named Monde. So he decided that very same day he'd crash at my shack. So as we were sleeping there, I dream of him telling me that, bruh, the song you did today, it's going to be a big song and it's going to change your life.
Mm.
I wake up in the morning, I tell him, David, I dreamt of you telling me that the song we did since then is actually going to be a big song and it will change my life. You know, I tell the guys as well the next day, I'm like, gents, I think since then is going to be a big song because I dreamt of Monde telling me that since then is going to be a song that changes my life.
Yeah. You know,
from that point onwards, you could feel that something big is about to happen because before we could even like hand it over to Joe's Entertainment, Lulo Cafe played it on his radio show, you know? And then we're posting now, my song playing on Lulo Cafe's show, what. And now people are like, what? You know, because now you're playing on a big station and all that. And then I send the song to label, owner of Joe's Entertainment.
Mm.
After having sent him a lot of my songs, I sent him this one. And on that day where I sent him Senzeni, it's the day where he decided, let me listen to this guy's music. And it so happened that I had sent him Senzeni. And he was like, bruh, I've been looking for the owner of this song because I had this song on Metro FM. And they said it's an unreleased song. They said your name, but I didn't pay attention. So I've been looking for the artist of this song.
Mm. I'm
happy it is actually you. Let me make you a superstar. He said that just like that, you know, before the song was even out, it was on high rotation on radio. And I was like, yeah, no, this is the song and this is my time.
Yeah. So then how did you feel like with the song doing that big?
I mean, for your first song and just, you know, getting to be heard for the first time by masses, I got moved. It touched me so bad, so much that I even cried because I just looked at my journey and you know, how far I've come and my struggle and just everything I've had to go through just to have this one song.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, yeah, you know, God really is, you know, able, and God does things at his own time. You know, I felt like everything was worth it. Because also, just before Senzeni dropped, I just got dismissed at home for not working. So I was like useless. So my journey has always been like that. I get dismissed. I get disowned, rather, at home over something I don't like really understand, because they don't even know what it was, because it was just excuses. They didn't want to confront the fact that I was just a man sitting at home, not working. I was, you know, just a burden. Just after that happened, and then Senzeni, you know, happens, and I was like, this is what you wanted for me, God. You wanted me to, you wanted to isolate me probably from forces that were like weighing me down.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really grateful if this is what you wanted for me. And yeah, man, I just took the glory back to God, you know, went to studio. I had to work even harder now because I knew that there would be pressure now for me.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it was a really emotional moment for me.
Seeing that you saw God bless you immediately after you got disowned and you had to stay by yourself and you had to move out of home.
Yeah.
So how's your relationship with your family now?
I'm not happy at how they chose to handle things.
Yeah.
Because I chose to be mature about everything. I'm that person. I don't hold grudges. I'm not about that life, you know. But also, if I realize that you are toxic for me and you just not giving me good energy, I feel like the best thing to do is to also like mind your space and just, you know, distance myself from anything that weighs me down. Because even where my music comes from is quite a spiritual place. I need to always be free, you know what I mean? I need to be in a place where I'm at peace for me to be able to make the music, because it has to come from within. I don't write the music, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a process of meditation and just digging deep and connecting with myself. So anything that disturbs that process, I feel like I don't want to be a part of it, you know. Because I remember when Senzeni blew up, I went home for a visit and I could sense the energy was just not the one, you know, and it didn't feel right for me to allow myself in that space. So I've just been like, so if I go home, it's always in the Eastern Cape, you know, where like I have, this is the home for my mom, this is the home for my aunties and everything else. This is where now I go, if I say, but home in Johannesburg, I don't really see it as home anymore.
Yeah, that's deep, man. And
yeah.
But do you feel like in the near future or in the future, yeah, you might want to work things out if the opportunity comes through?
I feel like I've gotten over it. But yeah, I'm open to such. I just don't like negative energy, you know. I mean, you disown me and I decide to pay you a visit when it's not even fashionable to do so. I'm at my peak. I'm big, you know, but I'm the one that's choosing to come to you when you chose to disown me. I'm expecting you to be nice, you know what I mean? Not to give me negative energy as if I'd done something to you. You did something to me, you know. I'm expecting you in some way to... I don't know. I'm expecting you in some way to regret whatever you did, but you, yeah, still, you know, want to treat me like I did something to you. So
yeah,
you, it's those type of things, man, that you don't like, you know. But yeah, family is family at the end of the day. But yeah, I do go home to see my family, to go where my mom used to live and everything else. But yeah, it's just so, that it's in the Eastern Cape.
With the whole solitude, since, yeah, it came out, and then you are grateful to God that it came after a time where your family showed you their true colors.
Yeah.
But now also, when this song came out, it was during lockdown. There was not, yeah, opportunities for artists who are blowing up musically to go out there, showcase their work, to do radio tours, to do, yeah, festivals. and whatnot to introduce themselves
to
the people to say, you love the song. Obviously, everyone loved that song.
Yeah.
But they never got the opportunity to enjoy it with and see you. How did that feel that, okay, Limpopo is loving the song, Mpumalanga is loving the song, Durban is loving the song, but I can't go there physically and show them that this is my song, this is me, and I really appreciate you receiving my music so well.
Yeah, it did affect me, I won't lie. It did affect me, but also when you look at, you know, the time when I dropped the song, it was during where like my piano sound had just really took off and taken over the country. So any song that wasn't Amapiano at that time, you know, had a really challenge, had a really, you know, big challenge to really like make it up there, you know. So for me, I always feel like part of why the song got to be heard and received so well is because people were like home, they were chilling, they were then able to get the message, and some also related to the song, because the song is What Have We Done, you know. So people
talk
to that whole thing of COVID, what have we done, you know. So I feel like it did play a role, you know. So I say it's a blessing and a curse at once, because it did work for me, because the song sold platinum during that whole COVID thing, because people were getting the message, you know. And also I feel like if it was at a time where like the country was open, people would be caring a lot more about the lockdown, you know, because people just wanted the lockdown at that time. You know, message, people didn't really care about the message. So I feel like they got to hear the message, because now they were locked in, you know, they were able to sit and listen to the music, you know. But also it killed me, because I could have like gone to the people, let the people know the face, because sometimes I'd bump into people who know the song but don't know me.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, but yeah, it worked both ways, you know. It affected me, but it also benefited me.
And then there are those who say, I know, Mthandazo found a female vocalist for the song. They don't believe that. You get that every single time you put out a song and you sing, and people are like, no, it's not you.
But that's the thing. When I sing the song, this is where people realize, hey, it's actually him. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is where people realize it is actually him, you know. So I did get a lot. I mean, some thought it was Nomcebo, some thought it was Nogwazi, you know. I think also even the video. On the video, I have this homeless makeup that I have on, even the clothes, you know, the outfit. So people can barely see the face behind the song. So maybe they thought I was probably the producer of the song, and maybe a female vocalist, you know, was not on the video and everything. But yeah, whenever I sang the song, especially the live one, I remember when we went to Live Amp, because we opened that song with an unplugged version. He like played the keys, and then I started singing. This is where people were like, what? It really is a guy, you know? So it's only when I started singing, when I started performing, that people realized it really was me.
So that's beautiful, man. You also have another song that you did with DJ Menzo and Commando. Was these two songs just like a one-time collaboration, or there's more that you guys have worked on that we just had the privilege to hear?
There's Abafana, there's Mzalwane. There's like about three or four songs that we worked on together. Those that are out is Abafana, Mzalwane, Senzini, and then there's another one where we did the Glenn Jones remix, the All For You. And then, so there's a couple of songs that we did together. And so I had to like also explore and not stick to one sound. It's okay sometimes to like try out different producers, because there's a lot of kids out there that are talented.
Yeah,
that you need to give a chance to. And so I've just been working with just everybody that's hungry.
I love that. And recently, I mean, you were on literally everyone's mouth in South Africa. Everyone who has a phone was sharing your video, your duet, your with John Legend. You were the biggest trending artist in the country.
Yeah.
How has that been for you? How was that whole experience? And also, how was it like dealing with that attention?
I mean, so for me, everything, you know, I believe in things happening for a reason. And also, like, every time a big thing happens to me, I'm always humble enough to remember that it's just answers to prayers of all these years, you know, because I had released songs in the past that talk about me being a global artist. I had released songs prior to everything. I had released songs that talk about having to see me on the papers, me being a global artist, global superstar, whatever. And so when these things are happening, you know, you just have to remember that these are prayers. These are answers to prayers of all these years. So for me, yeah, man, I've just been able to like contain it and absorb it and just understand that, you know, it's happening because I've been praying for it to happen.
Now, also, with all this attention, you get all kinds of DMs. But, yeah, what's the weirdest DM you've gotten ever?
Not sure if it's weird per se, but yeah, I just get a lot of people who just want me to buy them airtime. I get people who want me to buy them electricity. And people also who want to link up, you know. I remember, I got this one DM. This one girl told me she's willing to do whatever for me, you know. I just had to like read the message and not say anything, because I knew that I wouldn't like, you know, have space for her. I mean, she was coming with true intentions, perhaps, you know, and I wasn't in that space, so I just ignored, you know.
So there is someone in your life. That's why you ignored.
Yeah, there is someone.
So also, with you trending and everything, are there artists or producers who perhaps in the past you've reached out to trying to work on something together, but they haven't gotten back to you or they didn't reply to you, but following the trend, they started wanting to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I want to expose that. I want to expose them, but yeah, plenty, bro. Yeah. Like, we actually used to laugh about it, you know, because they would text me as if now this is the first time they've heard about me, but they've actually like even checked out the DMs, you know, and said nothing, you know. So yeah, it's always like that though, you know. When you're up there, you know, everybody wants to be part of the whole thing, you know. But it's just another, you know, musician's experience with just local artists, or rather artists as a whole. You know, they start paying attention because, you know, someone else gave you a nod or you are trending right now. So everybody, you know, wants something that's moving.
But are there any of those people that maybe still you overlook that they didn't want to work with me before, that you want to work with now?
No, I actually never really, you know, I don't hold grudges. I'm that type of person. But what I don't like is people who want to release songs that we did in 2015, because I feel like I've grown from that point till now. So if you want to drop a song we did in 2015 just because there's a wave around me or there's hype around me, I feel like you are, you know, killing me, you know. So those are the type of people that I know, people who want to release songs that we did in the past. But people who are coming through now, wanting to work, that I wanted to work with before, I still want to work with them, you know. I work with those people. I actually am working with some of them, you know, but I never really disclose, you know. It's now a thing where I'm waiting for them to to post and say, I'm doing a song with Mtandazo, you know, because, you know, back then I also had my fair share of being, you know, a fan and trying to reach out to them. So it's now a time for them to be my fans.
Yeah, it's time. But also, I mean, I want to, you've prayed about this, you've sung about this, like you say, that you manifested that at some point you'd want to be on a global stage or you'd want to be known globally. But now you have a live performance with John Legend.
Yeah.
How did that feel, sharing a stage with the guy?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, I always say this, man. And it sounds like sometimes you just, you know, being cheesy about these things. Like when I saw John Legend, I couldn't believe it. It was like a dream, you know, it was like, okay, yeah, I'm dreaming. But the minute I got to him and when I had to face the reality of now I'm about to talk to John Legend, you know, I had to, again, go back and remember that I've been praying about this, you know what I mean? And so I always have this spiritual thing going on whenever I come across something that could be a big opportunity for me. Because I also always remember that in your moment to shine, the devil is always present, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So
in that whole process, you just thank God and say, thank you, God. This is my moment. May this not be the moment where, you know, I get humiliated, I get embarrassed, or may this not be the moment that breaks me, because you've taken me this far for a reason. Let this be the moment for me. You know, so as I walk in, I knew that I was most likely to fumble and mess the entire opportunity, because remember, for an opportunity that big, you'd have to prepare a month, you know, prior, you know, you'd have to rehearse, you know, taking care of your vocals and everything. But finding out on the spot on this very same day where you can't even go home and rehearse, being told now that you are performing with John Legend today, you know, you could easily mess that up, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes an opportunity must just find you really prepared. So I was prepared for anything spiritually, emotionally, and, you know, psychologically, because I had seen these things happen before they happened, because I said it in the music that these things would happen. So when they're happening, absorb it, you know, take the glory back to God. Say, thank you, God. May this be my moment to shine. May this be the moment where now I go up, you know, where my career really takes off. So I just had to get myself to that zone and just remember that this is another human being. I'm actually seeing a human being. I'm not seeing an alien.
Yeah.
this is a human being just like I am. This guy, you know, he's big, yes, but...
Gimotulian,
yeah.
So, you know, the song, yeah, John Legend, Nervous, also made it to the Urban Hot 40. And as it was on its second or third week, I think that's when... the clip was circulating everywhere. Everyone was talking about it. I just, for the life of me, once I heard your duet, and I couldn't listen to the full song without expecting you to
come. The verse,
like, I was looking for that verse always. And, like, always, every time I'm doing a link on the radio, I'll be saying, yo, we actually do a petition and ask for this to actually be packaged and an actual remix put out there. But I saw a tweet of yours, I'm not sure if it was like from a couple of weeks back, when you were talking about future collaborations. You mentioned Sun L and you mentioned John Legend somewhere there. So are we going to have a new song altogether, or is this going to be like an official remix to Nervous?
We actually have the Nervous remix. It's done. It has Black Coffee and John Legend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's ready to be released. It's done. It's not a thing that's still to be done. It's done. Sanel, I'm done. We did a song. Dakapo, I'm done. We did a song. Kasango, working right now. Black Motion recently reached out as well, so we're gonna be working. So yeah, there's a lot of collabs that are on the way. There's too much that's about to happen.
And listen, I am super happy for you because this only means now that we are looking at international tours. We are looking at you performing this song with John Legend abroad now. We are looking at going with Black Coffee to Ibiza and actually performing the song there as well. So I'm excited for you, hearing your story and hearing how far you've had to come, how much you've lost, and how much you've had to endure along the way. And all of this pan out now. Listen, it just makes me feel so happy, and I'm glad to hear your story from you straight up. And part of the reason I reached out today is because you also have a song out that's featuring AB Crazy and Nhlonipho. It is doing well on the Urban Hot 40, and you guys are like a trio. I was watching a YouTube music video and comment there that said you should actually just be a group and just do music because the way you guys just do everything is a Tell me more about this song. Let's talk about E-Wallet.
Yeah. Okay. E-Wallet. So a lot of my things happen in the AMs. If I'm like sleeping in the morning, it's around 5 a.m. Nhlonipho doesn't like sleeping. You know, we're at a hotel. I hear this beat, you know. So he kept on building it. He kept on building it. But I'm like, hey, man, there's something going on in the living room, you know? This thing is playing 5 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, nah, I need to get out of bed now. I got out of bed, went to the mic. I told him, bro, like, I have something I need to record now. This song is like a dope song. This beat is crazy. You know, I'm feeling something. I dropped a verse and I was like, no, we need to be crazy for the hook. So we always like that. We always feel what the next person could add. You know, we know each other's strength. So I know exactly where to come in and I know where to like step off now and let, you know, AB come in, or just someone that can do a better job than I can. So I know AB's strength is a hook, you know, so I knew that I could bring in the first melodies to start off the song to let it like, you know, kick off nicely. But I know AB can give us something that could end the song nicely as well. So I was like, bro, we need AB now to make the hook sound, to make the hook sound international.
Yeah. You know?
AB came in, gave us the hook.
This is the same day.
But he came through later. Okay. Yeah. I recorded in the morning. And then AB came later. He gave us the hook. Nhlonipho is the king also of melodies. He's good with melodies, you know. He started having this melody. And then we were like, jump in, you know, because Nhlonipho, sometimes he does production and not come in on the vocals.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
But like, bro, these melodies are dope. And then he came in. He did the second verse as well. A song was done very fast and we were jamming to it as if it was out, you know. So Nhlonipho is that guy that always comes in as a surprise on these verses. Because even on All The Way, you know, the song would play and then you're like, and then he comes in with this soft verse and you're like, what? So that's the same thing that happened with the E-Wallet. When he came in, it was also, you know, a surprise again because it was like soft, very laid back, and it just went straight to the soul. So we have that chemistry. We have identified each other's strength, and yeah, we just know which type of beat could work for who, you know, which type of, you know, melodies could work for who. So we have that vibe going on.
But how did you guys meet? I mean, the three of you, is it because you're all under Josie or
AB and I are under Josie Entertainment, but Nhlonipho, our relationship goes a long way, you know. We met years ago, but we've just been working with different people, but also, you know, would work together there and there. I remember when we first met, it was at KFC, you know, in Corner Bree. I was there with my girlfriend and Nhlonipho, because I didn't know him at that time. He was gonna pay me for the vocals, was gonna pay me 500. And at that time I was charging, I think, because I just dropped that song with Kaleido, which was like promising, playing on TV and everything. So back then I was charging like 2K for vocals, and then there was this nice guy, you know, who loved music, who seemed like a really nice guy. I was like, ah, I'm fine. Give me 500, it's fine. You know, I did the vocals. And then little did I know that we'd be like friends and not have to pay each other for the work, you know. Like now, if I need a song urgently, if I need to do a project now, and Tony puts that one guy that I know, I'm just going to give him a call and say, bro, there's something that I need to finish now. You know, and he's going to show up for me. We make that, and then we're done with the project. And he knows also, if he needs to do a project quickly, and you know, he's going to call me and say, bro, like, there's this project I need to finish up quickly. Let's work on it. So we have that relationship. But yeah, it started back then, you know. It was started, I think it was around 2015, 2016. I'm not sure, but yeah, we go a long way. And then AB is part of the camp. Yeah.
Of the camp. Oh, nice. So mm-hmm. Now when I see, when I see the chat, when they send me a list of the songs that the 40 yeah. that are going to be in the chat for this Saturday, yeah. and your song saying e-wallet, all right, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm thinking this song is yeah. going to be about baddies asking for yeah. money,
yeah,
asking for Ama e-wallet, but this one is carrying a whole different message. It's talking yeah. about kids, it's talking about the mom, it's talking about Kuti. The kids need to know that their dad loves them. Did you see the money that I sent?
Yeah, like,
let's talk about the lyrical aspect of the song now. Yeah. What inspired the song?
Yeah, okay, so with us, we like more about spreading a positive message, but also try to commercialize the music, you know mm-hmm. what I mean. So yeah, e-wallet, I felt like a lot of people relate to this thing, man. There's way too many people out there who are working hard, you know, but have to, you know, stay away from their families just to make sure, you know, there's food on the table. But in that whole process, you find that you are unappreciated. It is as if you are out there just enjoying life, but you know, you out there trying to make ends meet for your loved ones. So it's just for those people who are out there feeling unappreciated for their efforts, and just, you know, yeah, you know, it's just a guy that's just someone that wants everyone is fine at home, even though they can't be with them, you know. So yeah, it's quite a deeper message than what a lot of people had imagined.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any kids of your own?
Yeah, I have a child. I have a 9-year-old son. Yeah, I sent him an e-wallet.
He's the one the royalties must go to. You must get that e-wallet.
Yeah.
No, man, I'm really loving the song. It's a beautiful project, and we really can't wait to hear what you guys have in store for us going forward. I'm sure we can look forward to many more collaborations from you and the guys.
Yeah, definitely. We actually have more songs that are not out yet. We blend really well together, so there's more music coming from us.
Ah, no, definitely loving that. Apart from, you've mentioned Sun L, you've mentioned Black Motion also being in the works, you've mentioned a couple of collaborations that you're going to be working on, or just waiting for them to be released officially.
Yeah.
Is there any artist that is on your bucket list to say, you know what, these are the people that I'd like to work with, and if I can do this, if I can work mm-hmm. with these guys, yeah. I have made my mark in the music industry, or I have fulfilled
yeah.
my as a musician?
Yeah, definitely. Fireboy. We are actually making, you know, the means to get a hold of him. We have reached out to his team. We're still waiting to see how that works out. But yeah, I'd really love to work with Fireboy. I connect so much with his music. There's also Joe Boy. There's also Mr. Easy that I really wish to work with. So I'm just hopeful that it will happen.
So I feel like your focus is more West Africa?
Yeah, definitely.
For that.
Yeah, I've realized that I'm more appealing that side than I am here. I'm not discrediting the South African music industry or whatsoever, but I feel like here in South Africa, if you're not into trends, if you're not into, you know, what's in right now, you know, people in some way do turn a blind eye. You know, people are more into what's moving, what's trending. So I feel like for my type of talent, you want to position yourself, you know, with at least, you know, a crowd that is not into what's trending, but more about, you know, the message, the music, what you have to say, the impact of the music. So I feel like outside of South Africa, I feel like people appreciate music more. I feel like people appreciate the message and the power behind music more than it is appreciated here, you know, because if you look at the most talented artists here, are not the most celebrated artists in South Africa. But if you come through with something that's like gimmicky and all that, people are going to definitely, you know, call you the one. You're going to be the face of the South African sound because now you are coming in, you know, with things that make people laugh and all those type of things. So I feel like in South Africa, not that it's wrong. I mean, we listen to music for different reasons. Some people want to listen to music because they want to laugh. Maybe that's their way of also getting over whatever they're going through. So I feel like my music is for people who really, you know, need healing, people who have lost hope, people who just care really about the spiritual side or the spiritual aspect of this music thing, because music is not just a thing, but it is actually spiritual, because music is a very powerful weapon. You know, through music, you can get to change how a person sees life as a whole. You get to decide how a person feels next. You can find someone feeling really down, but through your music, they get better.
Yeah.
Those are some of the reviews I actually got from people. Even when I bump into them in the streets, people would actually cry, say, "Bana, that song of yours, so and so and so, it really touched me. It really, you know, got me through a time in my life." You know what I mean? So I feel like my music is more about the impact more than it is about, you know, me being on the trend list and just, you know, being the most talked about guy. I'm just about the music having impact and a positive one on people. So I feel like it's more appreciated outside. That's why a lot of my fans now, especially since that whole thing with John Legend, it's actually people from outside of South Africa.
And this is why we call you the New Age Healer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. That's the purpose of my music. I want to heal people through it. I want people to find healing through my voice, because I don't feel like this is just a voice, you know. I don't feel like it's my skill and how I deliver this thing. I feel like it comes from somewhere. If you listen to the tone, you can tell that this is a tone from somewhere. I could be out here singing, but I could be interpreting things, you know, that are probably being said, you know, by one of my ancestors. I don't know, but I feel like it comes from somewhere, bro.
It comes from somewhere. But one could also argue that you could use your talent for a bigger reach. Like, say now, I, as Chris Trainee, I approach you and say, "Hey, I have this beat here that I'd like you to hop on." And it might not be your genre per se, but say it's a different reach, it's a different crowd. Would you not hop on a different genre? Because now there's a different reach. It means if you, like you're saying, a person who's delivering a message through the music, through the lyrics.
Yeah.
So why not use that to reach a different target audience?
I've actually done it in the past. As long as you allow me also to be me, I'm happy. You know, as long as you're not gonna expect me to give you what you could get from another kid that's already doing it, as long as you're going to allow me to come in into your song and be me, then it can be done. I mean, I've done it. Like I said, songs didn't really work out because I don't think people really care about those things. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like I haven't done anything of that sort. I've done songs that have my style of approach, but weren't really received as I had hoped they would be, because people don't really care.
Yeah.
Understand about that thing. So I feel like it's more appreciated outside. I can. But it's not like I haven't tested it. I've done it.
You've done it and seen that it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So now, the third month of the year,
yeah,
we know the collaboration is just waiting for them to be released, waiting for actual dates, and probably you and I will be having a different conversation about a different song in the near future as well.
Yeah.
Are there any things that people need to be on the lookout for from you for this year?
Yeah, so in June, we're supposed to do a USA tour. It's a mini tour. I'm supposed to also go to Australia. We just trying to tap into, you know, the international market. So I think I'll be doing a lot of those tours. I'm also doing a one-man show at a stadium. We also going to announce very soon who's part of the lineup. But yeah, we're doing a stadium, about a 10,000 capacity. So there's more that is about to happen.
Man, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing all that you have under your sleeves for this year. But the momentum that we started this year with, I am really happy and I'm loving everything that is happening to you.
Yeah.
And can't wait to see all the more beautiful things that are going to be happening for you for this year. Also, thank you for your patience. I truly cannot say that enough. And thank you for the time to speak with me and just get to know Mthandazo and the music, the man behind the music.
Thank you. Thank you again for a chance to tell my story once again. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.